Hi friends, welcome to this week's episode of You Can Rest Here. These are the conversations you have always wanted to have, except this time with a lot of biblical truth, laughter, beautiful and maybe uncomfortable silences, all leading to an increased awareness of the presence of God. Finally, we shall learn a rhythm of rest in a restless world. My name is Mazino Malaka. You can rest here.
Hi, my people. Welcome back to a brand new episode. I'm so excited. It's Valentine's Day. It is the season of love. It's the season to buy gifts and tell people you love them. And I'm here to tell you I love you so much that I want you to know the truth about love. This episode, we're going to be talking about what I wish I knew sooner about love. So in documenting this episode, I asked some of our inner community members to tell me what they would tell their younger selves about love. So I'm going to share their stories and I'm going to share some of mine as well. My prayer is that at the end of this episode, for some of us, we realize the places we still need healing, the places we still need the hand of the Lord to touch when it comes to love, romantic love, that is. And then for others of us, we open our hearts to love again because we realize that actually, I've been on this journey and God has actually healed me, and maybe my next adventure with God includes somebody else. Amen. I'm so happy about the deliverance that took place in the last episode. What I'm enjoying now is that it feels like different generations are listening to this podcast. So my friend told me about her mom and her mom's friends who all listened to the podcast and it delivered them, it set them free. And then my mom also tells me that like her friends will be reaching out to her and be like, wow, this stuff is making me rest in God in a new way. So I just want to thank you all for listening, for sharing, for also being open to feeling uncomfortable, because sometimes the truth, in order for it to set you free, it has to show you how you've been bound. So thank you. Now, I want to touch on things. This episode, I want it to be as raw and as honest as possible. One of the major things I would tell my younger self about love, I would tell myself to not conform to the male gaze. I feel like I spend so much of my life wondering how men would perceive me, how I look in their eyes. There's this way, this sounds so ridiculous now, but when I was in school, in middle school, all the girls would stand in a certain way where their hip would be slanted, so their bum would look bigger, and everybody wanted a thigh gap. And me, I didn't know then that these thick thighs that save lives are forever. So I would work out, I would do all these things in order to get a thigh gap. Little did I know, till now, even when I was at my slimmest, ain't no thigh gap. I did not ever have a thigh gap. And I thought that in order to have relevance with the male species, I had to conform to a certain image. Trust me, I love to look good. I love to take care of myself. All these things are great. But I don't want to conform into anybody's image but God's. Because what you would realize is when you find yourself conforming to the male gaze, is that the male gaze always changes. Before, it was thigh gap. Everybody had to be skinny, have a little thigh gap, no bum, flat, everywhere flat. And now people are like, actually, thick thighs do save lives. Which one is it? I wish I knew that the only image I was supposed to conform to was the image of God. I wish I stopped envying girls that I could have just learned from. I wish I stopped looking down on myself. And I feel like there are so many people, you are wondering who will love me looking as I am. And I just want to tell you that there is no amount of conforming to the male gaze that will cause you to feel like you are able to be loved. Because that standard will always move. The only person that sets a price on whether you are able to be loved or not is God. And he has already paid that price by sending his one and only son to die for you. Another thing that like, I feel I wish I knew sooner is to make peace with the mistakes I've made in romantic relationships. I felt like for years I would, and I'm sure so many of us are there where it's like, God, why was I so stupid to do that? And the Lord gave me something that healed me a few years ago. He said to me, if you knew better, you would have known better. You would have done better. If you knew better, you would have done better. And that's why I'm so passionate about people having knowledge. Because the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Sometimes you do the wrong things, not just because you want to, but because you don't know better. You don't know that there is a price for those mistakes. But even when the things happen, when you make those mistakes, you also need to know that there is mercy. And that mercy is abounding. The Bible says that the Lord delights in showing mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. Giving my heart to people that never deserved it. Giving my body away. Because I thought that giving your body is a way of you showing love. You know, I went through so long thinking that when you passionately love a person, the only logical thing to do is to give them your body. And then what a lot of you, I'm sure you've already noticed this woman, is that when you don't, you sort of feel like the relationship is dying. Because the world sends us a narrative that in order for there to be depth in a relationship, now, this is pre-marriage, we're not talking marriage, dating. In order for there to be depth in that relationship, there must be physical depth. We don't like to admit it. We believe it. We often think that the only way to truly access the depth of a man, the only way to truly access the depth of a woman is when you are physically intimate with that person. So many of us are trying to scrub off the sins of our youth. I want you to know that there is a blood that has already washed off all your sin, has washed off every iniquity. But now you know better, what are you going to do? So now I know better, I can't just sit there and just be like, oh yeah, I'll still do these things. No. I don't want my soul to be damaged because of what I do with my body. You see, there's a fear of, especially if you're someone who maybe faced a lot of rejection in life and you finally find somebody who is taking interest in you. There is a fear that if you don't do what the relationship looks like it requires, that relationship will come to an end. And what I have to say to you is let it come to an end. Anybody who claims to love you and asks you to sacrifice your promise to the Lord doesn't love you. See, I've had to gain a greater understanding as a Christian that virginity and purity are different things. Virginity and purity are different things. Just because your cherry hasn't been popped, just because you haven't gone the full way with somebody, doesn't make you more superior. You must humble yourself to know that the reason why the Lord is so passionate about virginity is because he's passionate first and foremost about purity. Purity first begins in the heart, in the mind, before it goes anywhere else in our bodies. So many of us have this sense of filth, that we just feel filthy because maybe you feel like, wow, God, I let somebody into my body in a way that I wasn't supposed to. And then there are others who feel so self-righteous because maybe they haven't gone the full way, but their thoughts are plagued with impurities. They're addicted to pornography. And you think that God is pleased simply because what pleases God the most is purity. Purity is at the heart of the gospel. Because the Lord said he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Let go of that shame. Get rid of it. You don't need it. I don't need you to have it. It benefits nobody. But now, learn that it is for you to make it your commitment to walk in purity. Pure in heart, pure in mind. Because as all of us know, before you ever go and do something you're not supposed to do, you first think of it and cultivate that thought in your head. Then it brings forth life. See, another thing that I wish, even like when I came to Christ, that I wish I learned was to not think that every man could potentially be your husband. I have people constantly who tell me that, like, who is this guy? Who is this girl? Could this be? Is this my husband? You see, the church has made so many of us find idolatry in relationships and marriage. Do you know that it is possible for your craving to be an idol? That's why someone could literally stare at a woman and the woman is like, oh my God, he likes me. The guy is just being friendly. Like, dude, we're in church. Of course, I just want to greet everybody. Not everybody, especially to my women, sisters in the Lord. Not everybody that smiles at you wants to marry you. Not everybody that looks at you in a friendly manner wants to be your boyfriend. I feel like we've been so focused on romantic love that we have not realize that platonic friendships exist. It is very possible for a man to just want to be your friend and nothing more. But I feel like ingrained in so many of us is that yearning to be loved. And why it's there is not just because we love romantic love as a society, because there's also a craving in our souls to want acceptance and to not face rejection. Do you know that rejection is one of the most painful things in this world? Has anybody ever been ghosted before? Have you ever been ghosted by a guy, by a friend? It is one of the most painful things ever. And I feel like there are so many people that have to deal with that spirit of rejection. Enter into the fullness of sonship, or else you will never be able to have a good romantic relationship, because your mind will always be in self-sabotage mode. You'll constantly be trying to protect yourself, because when something good comes, you'll be like, wow, how long is this gonna last? You're checking the days. You're like, okay, a month, he's still talking to me. Good. But let me brace myself. Let me start playing games with his heart just in case he wants to play me like the past person. And that rejection that we bring into romantic relationships often doesn't stem from romantic relationships. That rejection often comes from how we feel like the world has treated us. So then we bring that same energy into
whatever relationship the Lord wants for us. And what I pray is that anybody who has self-sabotaged a relationship that God ordained, that the Lord will have mercy on you. That the Lord will restore. Maybe not how you might expect him to restore, but that the Lord will have mercy on you. Amen. You see, one thing I want us to know, and I never believed this for so long, is that God has sons. And God is capable of sending somebody with his heart to you. I always thought I would have to settle. And I feel like something I would tell my younger self is that believe that you can meet somebody with God's heart. Don't think that you will have to settle. Spiritually, you will not have to settle. Like, why it's important to say that, because as much as we say, you know, God can match you with anybody, you know, just be open, fair enough. But I also want to believe that God can match me with somebody who is like him. And you have to let women believe that and not constantly scare them. Another thing I will tell my younger self is that don't listen to the horror stories people have and take it as fact. Just because everybody around you is suffering brokenness in romantic relationships, do not let your heart become hardened because of what you've heard. What you need to now start learning to do is like, okay, God, I see what happened in this situation. I pray for them. I pray you heal it, but I'm not going to move based on what I have heard. There was someone in my life going through something romantically, and she kept saying to me, don't think that you will experience what I'm experiencing. And then also for people, just because the first year of dating or marriage was difficult for you, don't wish that on somebody else. Just because you struggled in meeting somebody that you felt like you were compatible with, don't now threaten other people with that same fear. There's nobody more afraid of spending the entirety of their lives alone than women. There's nobody. And I feel like we need to stop scaring women. Scaring them with their biological clock. Scaring them by telling them that there are not enough good men in society. I don't know if anyone was like me as a child, right? I had diaries. And in these diaries, I would fantasize about love. I would fantasize about how my romantic relationships would be. And that fantasization, I hope that's a word, would slowly slip into dreaming in lucid ways, where all I would think about constantly, I just find myself just daydreaming. Just daydreaming. It wasn't until God had to tell me that, like, my imagination was created for a reason, and what I'm using it for is not what I'm supposed to be using it for. There are so many of you that have obsessive dreams about love. I pray that the Lord himself will be your obsession. It's okay to like love. Love is good. Love is amazing. Romantic love is something that the Lord desires for us, but it's never supposed to be the sole thing on the altar of your life. See, I've met a lot of women who they don't realize that they've moved from a place of, oh, I want love, to a place that, you know, the dictionary calls limerence. Limerence. I learned this term the other day and I was like, what does this mean? So I'm going to tell you this key stages of limerence. Limerence is when you first contact somebody and you're like, okay, this person is nice. I like them. And then you're like testing the waters with that person, trying to figure out, oh my God, is this situation hopeful? In that place of you daydreaming and longing for that person, right? your mind is completely captured by what could be. Even if that person is not Prince Charming, your mind will make them into the best things since sliced bread. Your mind will compel you into thinking that something that is not the will of God is the will of God for you. So there's a total mental capture. The next thing that happens after that is that it shifts from this person is completely consuming your mind to now you have an addiction. You see, when we talk soul ties, I want you to understand something. Your soul can be tied to somebody that you've never slept with, simply because your soul is entangled in that person. You constantly want to know what they're doing. You constantly watch their stories religiously, obsessively. You ask anybody with ears about that person. Maybe you don't do it like, you know, overtly, but you just, that guy, that your friend, how is he now? Does he have a girlfriend? That girl that I met the other day, how is she? Is she still single? Where does she live now, huh? You're inquiring because you don't realize that you have an obsession. And as we all know, God will not share his throne with anybody. You see, then you get to the point where you are constantly now trying to make out things in your head about what you and this person could be. And this all sounds funny because so many of you will be like, I'm not on this table. But I want us, in order to find genuine rest, we have to be open to the deliverance that will take place in our hearts when we confess our sins, when we confess how we are struggling. Is there anybody in your life you have built inordinate affections with? You see, I once had a soul tie with somebody that could have completely destroyed my life. It was an obsession. And I can admit it now that it was an obsession because I've come out of it, right? And do you know what started that obsession? It was words that were spoken. Like, oh, me and you will get married, that, oh, I love you, all these things, and I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you, all sorts of words that were building ties and connection in the spirit. There are some of you who need to denounce the words that you spoke to people that God never ordained you to be with. That apart from you, I'll never date anybody else. You're the only person I love. You know, when you're in love, you can say such silly things with such heart and grit and passion. I want you to look and ask Holy Spirit, how have I built any inordinate affections with somebody? How? Is there something that I've confessed with my mouth to somebody that I've been with, somebody that I dated? Just renounce those things. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to remembrance and renounce it. Bring it to remembrance and renounce it. I feel like I would tell my younger self now, right, that when you're dating somebody, ask the right question. Some of us date like, oh, what's your favorite color? Purple. Oh my God, so is mine. And then later you realize that purple was the least of your problems. What you needed to know is if that person has a generational curse that needs to be broken. You know, it's... We've brought the idea of dating down to such minuscule things. We brought it down to what we will eat and what we will wear and what kind of ring you'll put on my finger. We don't realize that you dating someone, marrying somebody, being yoked to somebody can completely keep you on the course that God has for you or completely destroy your life. Ask the right questions when you're dating. Ask them about their family history. Ask them about their relationship with God. Is God your father, or is he just somebody you talk to on a Sunday? Have you accepted that Jesus Christ has given his life for you? What is your idea of a family unit? Especially in a world where people are believing in all sorts of things. There are people you meet, you want to spend your life with them, you have no idea that that person doesn't believe in monogamy. These are the questions. You have to inquire. I would tell my younger self, ask the right questions. And in order to know the right questions to ask, ask the Holy Spirit what to ask. What addictions have you had? Have you ever found yourself doing things repeatedly in cycles that you don't understand? These are the questions. These are the issues. You see, when I asked some of you in the inner community what you would tell your younger self about love, honestly, I was so happy because I could tell that God is really doing a thing, renewing our minds. Someone said that I wish I knew that the boundaries God put in place to stop us from having sex before marriage came from a place of his love for us. You see, the moment you grasp that everything God wants you to not do is because he loves you and not because he's trying to kill your fun, to kill your joy, you will live a happier life. And I love this response. She said she wished she knew sooner. Like, why didn't anyone tell me this? We're going to have another conversation this month about sex and God's design for sex. Because I think it's so important that we know the reason why God is saying not to do something is not because he doesn't want you to not have fun. It's because he wants you to have the best life. But he knows the best life can only be found in his design. Someone else said that I would tell my younger self that all the fantasies and Mills and Boons I was reading were just mere fiction and an escape of reality. You see, you must crucify your fantasies. Ask God to deliver you from what you believe and show you what is real. Show you the real thing. I remember when my mom found out I was reading 50 Shades of Grey, she almost blew my head off. What are you? You see, because of how sexualized the world is, it was normal as a teenager for me to be reading an erotic novel. And you don't realize that all these erotic novels, pornography, all these things are trying to distort your mind into thinking love is something that it's not. I pray that the Lord would wash us with his blood, cleanse our minds from anything that has been planted by the devil, especially when we are young, to make us distort what love, what sex, what dating is about. Someone said that I would tell my younger self to spend more time alone. Enjoying your company is the only way you will be able to truly enjoy somebody else who comes into your company. You know, I've been in relationships where it felt like that person was my whole life. Because I didn't enjoy my company. So now I was confronted with my company when I would be single and I'd be like, who am I outside of talking to a man? But before entering into this new relationship, my goodness, I enjoyed my company to the point where I went on a solo trip because I realized that there is no my company. I live with God. God lives in me. I'm never truly alone because I have God. I would tell my younger self, stop rushing to be an adult. Adults pay bills. You don't want none of that. Enjoy your company. Enjoy being a teenager. Enjoy being a child. Be content with where you are. You see, marriage is not, or dating is not God's way of consoling your childhood wounds. A good relationship is not God's way of consoling the rejection you faced in friendship. Intimacy with God is what is supposed to treat those wounds. God can send you somebody that will be able to love you in those places where you felt rejected. For example, for me now in my relationship, I've had to learn that, like, even if in my past relationship, I didn't feel served, I didn't feel seen, that I have to receive help from this person and not repeat that same cycle of pushing away help because I never received it before. You see, God will console you with himself. He will comfort you with himself, but stop waiting for God to send a man or a woman to be your comforter. Because you will end up being like, wow, this person is now my God. Because they filled a void that the Lord himself was supposed to fill. This is a different episode, and I didn't think it would go the way it's going, but I hope we're all here with me. Romance is beautiful. Love is beautiful. But what is even better is a love that is built on Christ, the solid rock. What is even better is a love that is built when two people understand their identity. Because now you no longer fight each other for your place, because you know you already have a place in God. I will tell my younger self that it's important that you heal before you enter into a relationship. Because hurt people hurt people. Have you ever found yourself acting in a way that somebody treated you in the past? Let's say somebody, you lived with somebody who was so selfish and so self-centered, and they would always like say, this is mine, don't touch this thing. When you get into a relationship, you find yourself being like, all of this is mine. What's yours is yours, what's mine is mine. You don't have the grace to sacrifice because of how somebody else treated you. Because you've picked up on those same habits. And what you don't realize is that in the same way you were hurt, you have now started hurting people. Don't hurt people. Let God heal you so you don't hurt people in the same way that you have suffered. You see, I would tell my younger self to not fight for anybody who is not fighting for me. If your relationship is ending, let it end. I would tell my younger self to be swifter to obey when God says I'm not in something. And to not be so self-confident, but to rely on God to make any relationship work. You know, when my long relationship ended, right? This is years of being with one person. I remember I went to my pastor and I said to him, I feel like God wants me to end this relationship. What do I do? And he said to me, I can't tell you what to do or not to do. But he said, if the only reason you're still in this relationship is because you fear that God will bring you better, end it. That's not a good enough reason. Because if God asks you to do something, God won't owe you. I ended that relationship because I realized the only reason why I was still holding on, right, was because I knew this was not the will of God, but I felt like God couldn't bring me something better. Now, sitting in what I'm in now, if I knew what I knew then, if I knew what I knew now then, I would have been swifter to obey the voice of the Lord. Don't fight for somebody that God is not fighting for. Don't fight for a relationship that God has removed his hand from, or his hand was never there in the first place. Trust that if God wants to bring something to an end, something else is on the horizon, and he doesn't want you to miss it in disobedience. I love love, guys. I love it. But I love love that is true. And I've now found that the only way to walk in true love is to walk in truth. The only way that I can love somebody well is if I'm walking in truth. So I pray for us all to walk in truth, to get rid of the shame of our past, and to know that God is capable of bringing so much more life, light, laughter, joy, peace to you. So finally, what I wish I knew sooner about love. I wish I knew that God's love was enough. I wish I knew that by understanding God's love, I would be able to receive true love. And it's not too late to learn. So may the Lord help us and open our hearts to receiving more love this year, in Jesus' name. Amen. The most groundbreaking thing that I would tell my younger self about marriage, about dating, is that if it's not going to build the kingdom of God, don't do it. I think so many times we enter into things because it's like, oh, we're compatible. I like him. I like her. They're friendly. Our families get along. But the more you see everything in light of eternity, and you see everything in light of kingdom, it won't make sense. Which is why you must know that beyond the butterflies and the warm insides that you have in romantic relationships, the purpose is to birth kingdom. There must be the gathering of you two in order to do things for the kingdom that you wouldn't have been able to do by yourself. Now, being on the road to marriage, I know how important it is for me to constantly think, God, everything in light of your kingdom, what is his purpose? My mentor, one of my favorite people in the world, said to me when I told her I was in a relationship, she said, one will chase 1,000, 10,000. And she said that because the purpose of that relationship is to ensure that which you could not do for God before, you will now be enabled to do now. Sometimes I feel like we look at things too carnally, and I pray that God gives us perspective and he gives us sight this year in Jesus' name. And it will still be beautiful, you know, it will still be warm butterflies. I still have butterflies, but what gives me the most butterflies is knowing that what I'm in can birth things that will be lasting in my generation. I have a challenge for you guys. I want you to write a letter to your younger self about love. Things you wish you could have told your younger self about love. What you wish you knew then,
This letter is supposed to be a letter of healing and a letter of strength, because you're acknowledging what was, but you're saying, from where I am now, younger self, I know more now. And you're going to increase your quest for knowledge of why God wants one to be two and ultimately be one again. So I love you guys so much, and I pray that this episode has blessed you. I pray that it's you're unraveling. This is one of those episodes that it doesn't just end. It unravels, because it has to unravel you. And I pray we find rest in God's design for romantic love, and we stop letting the world feed us their own understanding of what love is. Yeah. Bye. Hi, people. So this episode, Joy of Giving, is sponsored by one of my favorite bakeries in Lagos, Nigeria. It's called Jaya. So please, I want you to nominate two people that will win love treats from us here at You Can Rest Here. Link in the bio on our Instagram at You Can Rest Here Pod. And I can't wait for them to take pictures of their treats from Jaya's and just really feel your love. We'll be sending out the deliveries on Saturday, so please get to nominating now. Bye.